Hello, Commissioner. You know, being succinct, just help. Council will come to order. Our mayor is in Washington, D.C., doing the people's business. So as the president of the council, it's my honor to convene and chair the meeting today. Welcome to City Council. And we're going to start this morning with council communications.
The roll call first?
First, let's do the roll call. Thank you.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
Next up is council communications. We have five people who signed up. You'll be given 3 minutes each, and we'll start with Mr. Long, Charles Long.
I read the item.
Pardon me?
Read the item. I'll read the item.
Thank you.
Okay. 93, request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding the challenge of homelessness.
Good morning, Mr. Long.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Charles Long. Ever since 1776, this nation has had a propensity to tolerate the intolerable. Despite the elegant words penned by our founding fathers, slavery continued until our tragic Civil War. Women were denied equality until the 20th century. The smoking of tobacco flourished until Surgeon General C. Everett Koop and other experts recently proved the deadly consequences of its use. And the prestigious City Club of Portland denied women membership until a few decades ago. But we continue to tolerate homelessness despite political hand-wringing and 10-year plans to eradicate it. The January 9 count of Portland's homeless was over 4,000. This year's count is scheduled next Wednesday, January 27th. On September 18th, 2009, State School Superintendent Susan Castillo announced that the number of homeless students in Oregon public schools during the 2008-2009 school year totaled 18,059. The city has virtually institutionalized homelessness with street Roots newspaper, Camp Dignity Village near the Portland Airport, with police and politicians looking the other way as people camp out under the Hawthorne Bridge in city parks, in the portals of buildings and alleyways, in empty warehouses and abandoned cars. Others loiter on street corners with nothing to do but ask for a handout, to the consternation of businesses such as Wentworth Chevrolet Subaru in inner southeast Portland. Isaiah, the great Hebrew prophet, gave God's answer to homelessness over 2,700 years ago. It could not be more relevant to us in 2010. Quote, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to share thy bread to the hungry and bring the homeless poor to thy house? For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Isaiah chapters 57 and 58. Since 1982, the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon has promoted the concept of shared housing, which brings together homeowners with rooms to spare and people in need of low-cost shelter. And over the 2 decades of operation, hundreds have been provided shelter. This program could be replicated 100-fold with government assistance and promotion. The homeless are particularly vulnerable to the elements, cold, heat, rain, and wind, to infection and disease, to theft, to assault, to kidnappings, to rape, and to murder. They desperately need to be put into protective custody by force of law or constitutional amendment. They need to be screened as to the cause of their state and plans developed for their rehabilitation and housing. The county-owned Wapato Prison, now empty, is already an ideal venue to process these people. Oregon has the highest per capita of homelessness of any state in the nation. For this reason, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon is planning a state summit on homelessness in early spring of this year to make proposals for the 2011 state legislature. The time and place will be announced soon. Homelessness, like slavery, should not be tolerated in a civilized society. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long, very much. Carla, could you please read Council Communication number 94?
Request of Robin Everett to address Council regarding the Boardman Coal Plant.
Ms. Everett, welcome.
Hi.
We're glad you're here, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Robin Everett, and I would like to start by commending the city for their leadership in pushing strong clean energy solutions. The Clean Energy Works program is an example of strong creative solutions that can be developed when utilities, municipalities, and citizens put their best foot forward. The Climate Action Plan is another example of the City of Portland raising the bar on addressing climate change. Such a comprehensive plan acknowledges the role our electricity sector and our use of coal here in Portland play in achieving these visionary goals. It is so refreshing to live in a city that takes global warming and air quality seriously and seeks ways to have a meaningful impact. I wish to thank the mayor in particular for being bold and reminding Portlanders how much coal we burn for our electricity and for encouraging Portland General Electric to phase out their Boardman coal-fired power plant as soon as possible. Phasing out Boardman on a swift timeline is perhaps the single largest step in accomplishing our climate goals here in Oregon and the goals of the city's climate action plan. And last week, PGE announced that they would look at a plan to shut down Oregon's biggest polluter by 2020. For the last 30 years, PGE's coal plant has been the biggest emitter of nitrous oxide, sulfur dioxide, mercury, and CO2 in Oregon. And PGE is asking that we allow it to continue to pollute for another decade. And I'm here to say that we deserve better. PGE's own analysis shows that we can shut down the plant by 2014 in an affordable and reliable way. State and federal law demand that PGE clean up this dirty and dangerous polluting plant long before 2020, and we should not waive these laws for another decade. Please help me to shut down this plant before I'm middle-aged. I'd like the city to continue to pursue the creative energy solutions like the Clean Energy Works program, but drive even more incentive for these types of plans by doing what it can to get Portland off coal sooner rather than later. And a Boardman phase out by 2014 is a great place to start. Thank you.
Ms. Everett, thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. Carla, will you please call Council Communications number 95?
Request of May Thompson to address Council regarding the Boardman coal plant.
Ms. Thompson, welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Dr. Mae Thompson. I'm a nurse and the Environmental Health Program Coordinator for Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. I'm here today to commend Mayor Adams and you, City Council, for the leadership you've shown on addressing climate change at the local and regional levels. Kudos especially to Mayor Adams for knowing that the energy efficiency and economic development that emphasizes the business opportunities in clean and green energy is key to reaching the goals in the Portland's Climate Action Plan. My primary interest in this issue is as a health professional. Although global warming is usually thought of as an environmental problem, we in the public health community know its impact on health as well. We're concerned about increases in heat-related diseases, insect-borne and waterborne diseases such as malaria and West Nile virus, extreme weather events, food and water shortages, and conflict over diminished resources. Many of these effects are already apparent. Portland General Electric's Boardman plant, as you've heard, is the single largest point source of carbon dioxide pollution in Oregon. It's also the largest single point source of mercury, which poses serious threats to human health. Pollution from coal burning contributes to four of the five leading causes of mortality in the U.S., including cancer, stroke, heart disease, and emphysema. Children exposed to mercury from any source, my testimony says from coal, but from any source, can experience developmental delays and permanently reduced intelligence. And we count these costs of coal not in the price per ton, but in increased healthcare costs. I am heartened that PGE has proposed closing the Boardman plant before 2040. While several dates have been bandied about in the last few days, as a healthcare professional, I advocate that the coal burning plant be closed as soon as is feasible. 2014 is none too soon from a health perspective. We must keep mercury and other dangerous pollutants out of the Columbia River and out of our children's bodies. There's no time to waste. Thanks for this opportunity to share with you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carla, could you please call Council Communication Number 96?
Request of Nick Engelfried to address Council regarding passing a resolution related to coal use.
Mr. Engelfried, welcome. You have 3 minutes, sir.
All right, thank you. My name is Nick Engelfried. I'm speaking on behalf of the Oregon Sierra Club located at 1821 Southeast Ankeny Street. I'd like to start out by thanking the City Council for its leadership on climate issues through initiatives like the Climate Action Plan and Clean Energy Works. I'd also like to thank Mayor Adams, even though I know he can't be here in person today, for his leadership in urging Portland's largest electricity provider, PGE, to move away from coal dependence. Portland already serves as a national model for other cities looking to reduce greenhouse emissions and their dependence on fossil fuels. Now, Portland has the opportunity to be on the cutting edge once again by moving toward coal independence and encouraging a transition away from coal at PGE's Boardman coal plant. As we learn more and more about the science of global warming and the urgency of action, it becomes increasingly clear that coal is the single biggest culprit. Here in Oregon, we can lead the way toward a coal-free future, but only if we can close the Boardman plant down or transition it to another fuel in a timely manner. PGE recently announced that it will consider closing the plant by 2020. This is progress and shows that the concerns raised by ratepayers, environmental groups, and local government entities like Portland are having an effect. However, the fact is that 2020 is still too far off. PGE's own studies point to 2014 as the soonest optimal year for moving off coal at Boardman, and we need the City of Portland to push for 2014 as a shutdown or transition date. The science of global warming makes it frighteningly clear that at this point, every year and even months matter. We simply can't afford to burn coal at Boardman for another 10 years. I am confident that Portland can continue to lead the nation by showing how local governments hold the power to end our reliance on fossil fuels. There may be no more important step our area can take in this direction than to move away from coal dependence and contribute to an early shutdown or transition date for Oregon's only coal plant, the Boardman facility. On behalf of the Sierra Club, I strongly urge the City Council to support transitioning away from the Boardman coal plant by 2014 at the latest. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Engelfried. Carla, could you please call Council Communications Number 97?
Request of Roger Wynn to address Council regarding why he chose Portland.
Good morning, Mr. Wynn.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the City Council. Having just moved here from Orange County, I thought you might want to know why people move here. And some of the reasons are obvious, the mass transit and the walkable environment, of course, very important. But also the way senior citizens are treated here, the low fares on the mass transit and so forth. But particularly important to me, which I don't think it's advertised adequately, is the option for seniors to attend class at PSU at no charge. That was a very major factor in us moving to Portland. I want to applaud the City Council on its support for the closure of Boardman. But I think we need to encourage PGE to be a little more creative in its planning. The cost of staying open past 2014 is, I'm told, $500 million, and I think it would be much wiser to use that money on alternative energy sources and efficiency rather than spending all that money on pollution controls. Another way that money could be used would be to support low-income ratepayers if there happens to be an increase in the cost of electricity as a result of this shutdown. Give it to the people of Portland who need support for the increase and keep that money in the state of Portland rather than sending it out of the state to buy those pollution controls. I'd also like to support your continuing efforts to keep the city boundaries where they are and avoid the expansion of city boundaries. Having just moved here from Los Angeles, you can believe I know what urban sprawl is, and I applaud your efforts to keep that from happening. Once you pave that land over, you never get it back. I'm a retired salesman and a compulsive salesman at that, and I want to give you some advice about mass transit. My wife and I were in Shanghai several years ago, walking the streets early in the morning. There was very little automobile traffic, but I remember seeing one intersection which had about 50 bicycles all in a big bunch waiting for the light to turn green. And I thought, China is moving towards automobiles, and what is this going to look like when those 50 bicycles become 50 cars? So I'd like to encourage the salesmanship for mass transit to take a different tack, approach it a little bit differently, and say that those who do not use mass transit are benefiting, and they should not complain. They should, in fact, be very thankful and be willing to support it with a few bucks, because that mass transit takes all those people off the road and makes traffic for better for those who are still in their cars. That's another way to view it, and the cost of mass transit is beneficial to everybody. Appreciate what we've learned about the city so far and the good works from the City Council. Thank you.
Mr. Nguyen, thank you. Clearly, Orange County's loss is Portland's gain. Let's move to the consent agenda. Do any of my colleagues wish to remove any items? Hearing none, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
I just want to note that one of the consent agenda items is accepting a grant for $1,366,000 from the Oregon Department of Transportation for a large 7-mile section of Southeast 52nd and 53rd on Woodstock Boulevard, which is a really great investment, and I'm appreciative to the taxpayers of Oregon for helping us with our transportation system. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
That brings us to our time certain. Carla, would you please read time certain number 98?
Accept report on the National Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors Community Broadband Award, Portland's Integrated Regional Network Enterprise.
Commissioner Fritz.
I am delighted that we are here today and very pleased to be the commissioner in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management. This occasion is accepting a national award which recognizes the city's ERNI system. ERNI is the Integrated Regional Network Enterprise. It's a city-developed communication network which, through a unique partnership with Comcast, provides high-speed broadband internet services to schools, libraries, and governments throughout Multnomah County. Representatives from the Bureau of Technology Services, the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, and Comcast are joining us here today to celebrate this occasion. The award will be received on the city's behalf by the Bureau of Technology Services. By way of background, the National Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors, or NATOA, annually bestows a Community Broadband Award, which recognizes exceptional leadership and innovative programs that champion community interests and broadband deployment in cities nationwide. ERNI received a 2009 honorable mention in this award competition. The ERNIE system was developed and launched by the Bureau of Technology Services through a strategic partnership with our Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management and an operating agreement with Comcast. The fast, inexpensive broadband access that ERNIE provides to schools, libraries, and local government offices throughout Multnomah County is made possible outside city boundaries through interconnection with Comcast's iNet. Through iNet, ERNIE provides essential internet links for these institutions at higher speeds and lower cost than was previously possible, saving crucial funds needed for other essential services. So I'm recognizing key staff from the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management, including David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, and David Solis, and ERNIE staff manager Mark Gray, as well as Neil Belikowski, Bob Oakes, Maureen Kinzel Grubbs, and Mike Croxton, who will receive the award on the city's behalf. And we also recognize Comcast's essential role in the success of ERNIE in extending critical services to libraries, schools, and East Multnomah County cities. None of this could occur outside of city boundaries without Comcast's continued agreement and support. I am pleased that Comcast's new regional vice president, Hank Foer, is with us today, as well as Paul Klein, director of network engineering, Matt North, manager of network engineering, and Sanford Inouye, who recently took me on a tour of the Comcast call center and their other facilities, and I was extremely impressed. In introducing Comcast representatives today, I must extend special recognition and thanks to the late Debbie Leupold, longtime Comcast Senior Vice President for Government Relations. Debbie passed away last August, and it is impossible to conceive of the current ERNIE Comcast partnership without remembering and paying tribute to Debbie's work in making it happen. As ERNIE is honored in this award, let us also remember that we owe Debbie a debt of gratitude for all her work on behalf of the Portland community. Hank Foer, would you please come forward, and would you like to say a few words? Others can come forward, too. That'd be great. Yeah, right there.
Okay, good.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can sit down. And
please have a seat.
And then just state your name for the record, and then you don't have 3 minutes. You can talk for as long as you
want. My name's Hank Foer. I work for Comcast. Thank you for inviting us, Commissioner Fritz. As a new leader for Comcast here in Oregon, for the record, this is my first public appearance in the state of Oregon, and hopefully not my last. But I'm proud to represent the company, on this award and this recognition. And I tell you, what a great partnership the company and obviously your staff in the city of Portland to help create this new resource to provide broadband services to our libraries and schools and other public facilities. And lastly, I'd really like to thank the two gentlemen who really got the work done on a day-to-day basis. That's Paul Klein and Matt North. I'd like to thank them on behalf of the company and that really on a day-to-day basis, working with your staff, it would not have been possible without their help. I'm looking forward to working with the City of Portland and continuing our relationship and our partnerships that we continue to grow in the broadband services space. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foer.
And, just like to echo all Hank's comments and just in particular thank Mark Gray and his team. Over the last few years, I think we've continued to build on the relationship and, wouldn't be possible without, him and his staff and just being very supportive. So. Definitely appreciate it, all of that, and look forward to continuing partnership.
Anyway, as well as saying, Mark Gray and his team have been wonderful. Look forward to continue working relationship. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Comcast, for your partnership.
Thank you very much.
So, and I ask ERNIE manager Mark Gray to come forward to accept the award on behalf of the city. And I'd like to read the letter that we received from NATOA, the National Association of Telecommunications Officers and Advisors. Dear Commissioner Fritz, NATOA held its 29th annual conference September 30th to October 2nd in New Orleans, Louisiana. The theme of the conference was America's Communications Future, Communities Leading Change. During the Wednesday General Session and keynote luncheon, the Board of Directors presented the 2009 Community Broadband Awards to honor outstanding individuals and projects that seek to improve government and public options in broadband technology. Our Community Broadband Awards were initiated to recognize and highlight some of the many extraordinary local efforts to bring the benefits of technology to American communities. It is our pleasure to present you with this honorable mention award. On behalf of NATOA, we wish to congratulate you for your dedication towards community interests and broadband deployment in local communities nationwide. I look forward to continuing to work together in the future. It's signed by Tanya Rideout, Acting Executive Director. So, Mark Gray, on behalf of the Bureau of Technology Services, would you like to say a few words?
Yeah, I would. Again, my name's Mark Gray. I'm with the Bureau of Technology Services, and I want to voice my appreciation for the recognition that Commissioner Fritz brings, as well as the rest of the council and NATOA, to the work that my staff has done in partnership with Comcast. There are several of my staff here today, that which you've already mentioned, but there, as with any successful operations, there are a lot of people who spend their time day-to-day continuing to ensure services like these are viable and cost-effective and reliable, and I'd like to also pass on my appreciation for their hard work and appreciate the award.
We do indeed have many fine employees who helped with this. If you'd like to come up and accept it, then afterwards, after we've had the vote on the report, we'll have a photo op. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, do we have a report to adopt?
This is it.
Would you move that report?
Thank you. I move the acceptance of the report that I just gave.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Is there any council discussion? Carla, would you please call the roll?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet if anyone wanted to testify.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Okay, let's go to the roll call.
Fritz.
Again, many thanks to everyone for all of your work on the continued success and accomplishments of the ERNIE system, bringing a high level of service and low cost to our public partners in Portland and Multnomah County. Thank you so much. Aye.
Saltzman.
I am very, very honored that we have been recognized by NATOA for the partnership we have with Comcast in our own city to make ERNIE a reality. It was kind of a revolutionary idea when we first started doing it, and it's good to see that it's worked. It's helped governments, school districts, and others to have low-cost or no-cost broadband service. And I just finally wanted to also acknowledge how much, I personally miss Debbie Leupold and what a great asset she has been for our community and for Comcast. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Congratulations to all of you on this award. Aye.
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz, great job, as always. And to everyone who's here, thank you for your time and for your good work. I vote aye. The matter passes. And if we could suspend the rules for a moment for a photograph, without objection.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to our regular agenda. Carla, would you please read council item number 110?
Authorize additional revenue bonds for urban renewal areas.
This is a second reading, vote only. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Going to explain this a little bit. This is authorizing previously authorized urban renewal indebtedness of $277 million, which is a lot of money, but it doesn't change the total indebtedness and it doesn't change the project. It does increase by $28 million the authorized indebtedness in three of the urban renewal areas, Central East Side, Interstate, and Gateway. I'm happy to see attention to the Central East Side and Gateway in particular and ongoing attention to Interstate. And it is part of the regular urban renewal area process and has the projects have previously been authorized. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The matter passes. Carla, would you please read Council Agenda Item Number 111?
Authorize the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Lake Oswego to work cooperatively to improve habitat for native species in the Tryon Creek Confluence Area, project number E08958.
This is a second reading. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to Commissioner Saltzman and Lake Oswego Mayor Jack Hoffman for your leadership in this partnership, and especially for funding a project in the Tryon Creek watershed, which has long been worked on by the Watershed Council and others. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. This is a very exciting project, and it's good that the City of Lake Oswego and the City of Portland are working together to restore parts of Tryon Creek that are important to both communities. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The matter passes. Carla, would you please read Council Agenda Item Number 112?
Authorize a contract with the lowest responsible bidder for the construction of the Tryon Creek Confluence Habitat Enhancement Project, number E08958.
This is a second reading. Would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The matter passes. Would you please call Council, read Council Calendar Item Number 113.
Provide for the administration of public works permits.
This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
This is a very exciting new process to better coordinate public works permitting, and especially to have an appeal which includes citizen engagement at the very first level, which is, I think, precedent-setting, certainly in Portland, possibly nationwide. I'm very pleased that the mayor will be soliciting nominations for those citizen representatives from other commissioners and from the chairs of the neighborhood land use committees. And I'm very pleased with the work of all of the staff in all of the bureaus who have worked together on this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Well, this is an example of cutting red tape and streamlining services with the goal of creating jobs. Commissioner Leonard, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job, and I'm pleased to vote aye. The matter passes. Carla, would you please read Council Agenda Item Number 114?
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The matter passes. Are there any other items the Council wishes to address? I want to thank my colleagues for the confidence they placed in me today as the President of the Council, and I would like to remind Commissioner Fritz that I believe I have now eclipsed her record for the shortest Council meeting on record. With that, we are adjourned.
Oh, it's a tie.
I think that was a mistake.
It's a tie.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Another outrageous exaggeration.
2 minutes.
Can I see you for 1 sec?
Yeah.
Can I touch you for a sec?